a loving father.
And this afternoon I want to give you what he gave very briefly. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians, please. Because the container that was brought from Greece by my brother to put on the altar represents many different pictures of flesh, and it looks as though it's trying to give us an insight into what Greece was like way back. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is where we're going to go. I was in chapter 5, but I also went on to chapter 6. The highlight is on chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor the male prostitutes, nor the homosexuals, offenders, nor the thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the slanderers, people who talk about each other, in case you forgot. That's what slander is. Nor the swindlers, people who take advantage of others, take their finances, etc., take away their good name, will inherit the kingdom of God. But verse 11 is where I want you to see. And that is what some of you were. I want you to see there that you do not throw away the idolaters. You do not throw away the adulterers, the sexually immoral, the prostitutes, the homosexuals, etc., the thieves, you don't throw them away. The greedy, the drunkards, you don't throw them away. The slanderers, the swindlers, you do not throw them away. Because you see, the church was full of them. Do you hear? He says, some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So does that open the gate to let in the saints? Does that open the gate to let in the thieves, the slanderers, the offenders, the homosexuals, the idolaters, the sexually immoral, the wicked? You see, the church has gotten so into the law that if somebody comes in that's got a little bit of soil on them, they don't want them. They want to throw them away. And that's not what God wants at all. So I want to give you an update. God loves. For he sent his only begotten Son. Because he loves. He hasn't changed his mind. He loved you and me. And he's loving us tonight. And he's loving you. Come on up, Pete. Four times this morning I had Pete's face come before me, so I called him and I bugged him a little bit. So would you lift your hands to him? Father, bless this brother. Open up the gates that need to be opened up, especially his mouth, so that he'll be blessing those that need a blessing. Open up his heart to release that which is inside for the glory of our God. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
But what Kim didn't tell you is that he gave me the call at approximately 1:15 this afternoon. I love foreknowledge and forewarning. He's there. The Lord told me, you have a message. And I'm thinking to myself, I wish he told me. So, with that, at 1:30, I have to go get my wife from work. So I go to grab my Bible, and he says, no, take your Bass magazine. I've been a member of Bass now for many years. And I took that because she gets out at 1:40, which means she'll be at the car maybe around 2. So that's just how the cookie crumbles. But I looked at the magazine. Take a look at this. What do you notice? It's extremely thin. And I'm, you know, Lord, 6 years ago when I started getting these, they were 3 times as thick. And he said, yeah, look through it. So I did. And I said, just as I've been saying to her, I don't even read them anymore because it's the same thing over and over. As a matter of fact, I canceled my subscription. They automatically renewed. And I told them not to renew this year. I'm not going to join up because a lot of the stuff that's in here, I knew when I was growing up, and I learned by bass fishing. But the point is that he said, there are people that don't know, obviously, but what was taken out was all the fluff. The ads. People cannot afford to place the ads. So they had streamed, the magazine has been streamlined to 1/3 its size, thereby saving costs for the printer, obviously, but not so good for the people who are printing the magazine because they need the ads, obviously, to make the money. But the point is that it was streamlined. And he said, as my church needs to streamline the gospel, make it easier for people to read, get rid of the fluff, give them the information. There's still ads in here, there's still fluff. But the information is what's mostly in there. You turn the page now, you hit information. You don't hit fluff. On Saturday, I had the, I don't know how to word it. It's not, some people may actually hear this. I went to a memorial service for a friend of mine I went to school with. He passed away on the 27th of February. He lived about 8 minutes from the hospital, died of a heart attack en route. They couldn't revive him. I went to the, I don't normally go to those things, but the Lord said, you're going to this one. And I went, and it was started at 9 o'clock, memorial service at 10:30. He says, I want you there for 9. And I'm there, fine. So I got dressed up, I went. Mary said, I don't know whether or not she wanted to go or not, but it wasn't conducive for her, and I knew that. She didn't even get ready. So I showed up at 9 o'clock, got to the funeral home in Ware, walked in the door, and guess who the only one is that's there? And the mortician. And I said, is this for so-and-so? Mm-hmm. When does it start? He said, people should have been arriving 5 minutes ago. You're the first. And now I'm thinking to myself, Lord, why am I the first one here? Because he says, I want you to sit in the back and listen and watch. Pay attention to what happens. I knew I would not be staying for the service. That I knew. It's just because he said, you're not going to. I thought I was going to be there for it, but no. People started coming in. First the family, obviously. And I just listened. I'm sitting in the back. They're looking at me with a tilt because they don't know me. I knew their son. I knew their brother. I did not know them. And they were lost. They were like, well, where are the photographs? Who's bringing? Oh, my God, if she's late. And I'm not saying that the person that they were saying this about the person that was bringing the photos. I'm just throwing this out that under the stress and everything, things are being sloshed out that it's like I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, this is interesting. I pray to God I never have to go through this. Which, my mother passed. I don't think I went through that kind of a stress. I was like, okay, she's gone. let's take her stuff that's not usable and find home for the rest. And that's what we did in 3 days' time, correct? Before the rent was due. As people from my class, now there was, I forgot how many people in my class started coming in. Lord said, how many people from your class are here from this young man who was very popular amongst your class? He wasn't a football player or anything, but he was popular. He was known. He was liked. He was one of those guys that everybody knew him, period. Including myself, six. Six people showed up. The ones that showed up, a couple of them, I'm like, one gentleman, he was totally lost it. I'm there. Why is he here? I didn't even know he hung out with this guy. He's there. And the Lord's like, look at him. He's always got it together, and he's lost it all. These people did not know how to handle this person being gone. They were at a miss. Then I'm standing there, and I see this girl come in. And I'm like, oh, I know her. Went out with her. Mm-hmm. In comes her sister. I know her. She was married to so-and-so. He cheated on her. She divorced him. She's totally broken down. Lord, why is she here? What's the deal with her? Friend of mine who passed away many years ago, his mother shows up. She sees me. Hello. The gentleman that I just said that was married to this other woman, his mother shows up. He shows up. His three brothers show up. And all these people are showing up. It's like, oh my God, Lord, this is almost a hometown reunion. Ended up vacating that area after talking with the three brothers. You know one of them. You know one of them, and I'm not going to say the name over the air. So, but I'll explain after. And he's there. You know, my life's a wreck. And then, yeah, I knew this. You know, it's no newsflash. But he's there. You know, we got to get together. And his younger brother's like, yeah, man, I don't know what it is about you, but we got to get together. Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to give me your number or something? I said, we'll end up bumping into each other somehow, some way. I know where you live. You do, huh? Yep, and I told him where he lived. He said, yeah, you do know where I live. Stop by any time. I said, when I feel the need, I'll be there. He said, okay, that's good enough for me. Now, that was about the end of it, and the Lord's like, okay, you can go now. And they're, okay, fine, thank you. So I left. I ended up went home for a little bit. My wife and I had a great praise and worship session, and I said, I have to get away from her. And I left. I went, it wasn't a praise and worship. We had an argument.
Oh.
Okay, we had a Holy Ghost encounter. And because of what was spewing inside of me, I decided to vacate, and I told her I was going to bring some videos back to my aunt. I did. They blessed me for, 8 to 10 hours I was there. Blessed me with smokes, with salmon dinner and talking and whatnot. We hashed over a whole... Yes. And whatnot. Had a real interesting time. And at that point, I was blessed in other areas. Monday, I go to Walmart. You're saying, what does all this have to do? This is how God coordinates. I go to Walmart, and I need razor blades, and I need some Listerine. Those are my two priority deals. So I'm heading down in there and wearing them. Lord, just take this aisle. I says, no. This is not the aisle I need, Lord. See, I go shopping, ask her. I'm in. Pink, boom, I'm out. She goes shopping with me, and I'm having a Holy Ghost encounter because she's a slow shopper. But long story short, Lord, I don't want to go down there. He says, go down there. So I go down there, come around the corner. There's a buddy of mine's sister. Now she's there. Hi, how you doing? 10 minutes of listening to all the wonderful reports. Dear Lord, why? You'll know why in a little while. I go to leave, and that There's a lady standing there. Wow, haven't seen you in 8 years, and I bump into you twice in 48 hours. My buddy's mom, who had passed away years ago, was right there next to me. She says, isn't that funny? I'm there, yeah, I guess you're at the top of my prayer list. And I said, okay. And then the Lord said, all right, now, I closed up. I go over to electronics. And I'm trying to, I got my stuff. I went over to electronics. I pick something up over there, get to the register, and I hear a voice. And I look up, and I'm like, hi, how are you? I gave the lady's name. And it's the one I was wondering how she was tied in with my buddy who passed away. She's like, I remember you, and I know I know you. I knew you at the funeral. Who are you? And I explained. And I said, now how do you know my buddy? Well, I am the mother of his only son. And that's how I knew him. Newsflash to me. But we ended up walking on out and she ended up just breaking down and telling me all the sorrows and how she says, I'm totally crushed because I was 16 when I met him. By the time I was out of high school, I had his son. And we went our own ways. Ended up marrying this person and getting divorced and met this person and that. And she says, long story short, I moved. She became a nurse. She says, I worked here in town. Then I went down to Connecticut. Now I'm over in Spencer. And here's a coordination point for you. She says, the 26th of February, I am downtown. And guess who I bump into? I said, who? The gentleman who's passed away. They start chit-chatting. She says, you know, we were never enemies. We talked. And we were cordial. But we said, you know, we've now gotten reaching several years in age, and we've all, he says, after, you know, 20 some odd years, 30 years, we've matured some. Maybe we ought to consider getting back together. And she said, my whole inside went, yes. Next day, I find out he's dead. She said, I felt like everything just collapsed. She says, the pain in me is like of a such, I just cannot understand or bear. And I said, and I looked at her. Now we're outside. We've left Walmart. I mean, she's walking with me out the door. We're talking, and she's like, the pain is just shredding me. And I, you know, what do you say to someone like that? I mean, every one of us has experienced that kind of a pain to a certain degree. But this lady, it was ripping her to shreds. And I couldn't sit there and say, you know, Jesus takes away all this pain. It's just not conducive at that point. And I looked at her and I said, you know, you ought to rejoice for that pain. And she's looking at me and she's like stepping back. I said, the amount of pain you're feeling tells me the amount of love you had for him. And the joy that he brought to you. Maybe not in the last 5 to 10 years, but in the time frame that you knew him, he brought you that kind of joy. To hurt you like this. And the last memory you had of him was what? You getting back together. At least neither of you said something goofy or stupid to say something that you wish you'd never said. Now, is that my sermon? No. That's just to get my mouth rolling. D's like, that's why I was looking at the clock. It's like, oh, Kim, you're trying to help, but you're not. But the point being is that the Lord will use you no matter what, wherever you're at. And you may be used in a way that is not conducive to what the average Christian would say we're supposed to do. You know, I know people would say, well, you should have sat there with the gospel. And no, that's not the time. I know I'm going to bump into this woman again. I know this for a fact. For God's sakes, no more than 8 years ago, she was my wife's nurse in the hospital. You know, and the Lord will coordinate again. We have to be ready in season, out of season. I'm just going to go real quick because, like I said, I was not given any super notice. So I tried to study, but I had too many distractions. When Kim called me, I couldn't even answer the phone because I was dealing with a wonderful, blessed lady from the Jehovah's Witness at my door. It was just one beautiful thing after another. Leviticus 22:32. I'm going to be reading this out of the NIV. I want to make sure I've got it marked right. Yeah, I do. I believe. Where are we now? Leviticus 22:32. Okay. All right. You don't have to go there. I'll read it. If you go there, that's fine. It states here, do not profane, and I'm going to be emphasizing the word profane here. Do not profane my holy name. I must be acknowledged as holy by the Israelites. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Uh-oh. Who makes us holy?
Yeah.
The Lord makes us holy. And who brought you out of Egypt to be your God, I am the Lord. Do not profane. The reason why this comes up is because of, for me, over the past 6 months, I've been keep on being brought back to the word profanity. And I honestly don't remember who gave, now I know who it was, who gave the definition of what profanity is. And I will get to that definition in a wee bit, but right now I'm going to jump us ahead a couple thousand years to 1 Timothy 1:9. Now it's going to be coming out of the Amplified because it's the only way that the NIV doesn't touch on it in this fashion. So thank you, Gail, for your concordance and that you let me use. I had a whole bunch of snippets when I was coming here, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't know where I was going because I couldn't settle in. And when I got here and I started thinking, I went for a concordance and the Lord said this word and that's where I'm going. So I had some help and I thank everyone for it. 1:9, and it is, knowing and understanding this, that the law is not enacted for the righteous, the upright, the just, who are in right standing with God, but for the lawless and the unruly, for the ungodly and the sinful, and for the irreverent, there's one of those words I tongue-tie, irreverent and profane, for those who strike and beat and even murder fathers, and strike and beat and even murder mothers, for manslayers. Again, the emphasis is profane. And the final place I'm going to go to, which will also be in the Amplified, is Hebrews 12:16. There is no one, that no one may be guilty of sexual vice or become a profane, godless, sacrilegious person as Esau did. Stop right there. Profane. Related to the word profanity. It is said in the word that we are not to utilize profanity. What is profanity in this day and age? It's using foul language, correct?
Yep.
Every time I read that in the Bible, I'm like, my God, I'm in the military. I am profaning every time I even look at somebody. You know what? I wasn't profaning when I was looking at them. I wasn't having profanity when I was speaking with them and using, as my grandson Isaac would say, bad adult words. The definition to God of profanity is speaking words over yourself that do not line up with what He said about you. I have aches and pains in my back, but it's because I slept on that rug. No. You have aches and pains because someone's attacking. And you do not have aches and pains. You are the healed. By His stripes, you were healed. No questions about it. The truth of the matter is we were healed. The facts must line up with the truth eventually. The question is do we stay on the truth or do we stay on the facts? I'm not picking on people who need healing because I need healing. I'm still standing on the word for myself for blood pressure to come back down. You know, I am not a man walking around with a temple that is A, overweight, and B, has high blood pressure. Because I am the righteousness of God because of what God did at the cross. He sent his son not for me, but as me. Period. That I would become what? What he is. And it is he, high blood pressure. Does he need these wee little readers? I hope not, because she'll tell you. If you're in my reading glasses, you see this bow right here? You're public enemy number one. My gray glasses, guess what happened today? Fell off. Broke right off. We take for granted what we have in Christ. This book is loaded up. Well, this book looks awfully thick because it's got four different translations. But there's no fluff in here. The fluff is in what we were taught and what we were brought up with. Well, if you are sick, there's a reason for it. Or you're limping because there's a reason. Or, you know, with those, oh, you can, Kim, you can't be blessed. I heard, and I know what you did the other week. I saw it. So you can't be blessed. You are blessed. I am blessed. Not because of what we do, how we do it, what we know. We're not even blessed because of our faith. How many saw Charles Joseph Prince today?
Yeah.
I'm sitting there and I watched that and I went, yes. That is so good. Remember what he said about the sacrifice? The lamb is looked at and inspected by the priest for what? Imperfections. If D here brought, if I was the high priest, he brought me the lamb, I don't go, hey D, I look at her and say, you're here because you're sinning? You're a sinner? Well, duh, she brought the lamb, right? Is that basically the way he said it? And it's the truth. She is justified. If that lamb is perfect for the sacrifice in the old days, she was justified because of what the lamb was. It was perfect and killed. And it lasted for 12 months. Jesus was perfect. You are justified and righteous, period, because of his sacrifice. Because God looks at the sacrifice, not at the one bringing it.
Amen.
Period. Amen. End of discussion. I guess that takes a lot of fluff out. We have to get away from thinking the way we used to about, well, if I do, all right, I'm going forward. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. You've already blown it. I has nothing to do with it except in him. I in him. That's where it matters. If it was something we could do, he wouldn't have had to die. Period. No other way. If there was any other way, it would have been done. But the point is, it couldn't be done any other way. So we have nothing to boast about, except to boast about what he has done for us and through us. When we sit here and we look at ourselves and I've said it myself, I'm such an idiot. I have just proclaimed profanity against God, for I have the mind of Christ. Not because of what I have done, but because of what he did and his sacrifice. His righteousness was given to me, his mind, everything that he was, we are when. When are we? That. Yeah. Now. Actually, for all of us, as far as I know, we're all born again. It happened to us the minute we said yes to Christ.
Amen.
But we didn't know that. We knew tradition. I mean, one, two, three, four of us here. We started out at the same place, basically. And we made all the same mistakes. Isn't it wonderful to learn? Thank God he's patient. That's the hardest thing for me, is to remember that I am righteous. Oh, I can tell you you're righteous. It's real easy. Because I don't know you. Like you know you. You know, we all have secret sins. Because, and anyone that says, well, I don't, you're just going to go repent now, because everyone does, and you know what they are. Everyone has them. Something that keeps on reoccurring, and you go, here we go again. No, it's not here we go again. Because the word, I don't remember where it is here in the text, but it says that the blood of Jesus cleanses, not once, but that word cleanses in the Greek means a continuous washing. From the time you accepted Christ, the blood just keeps on pouring over and over and over. So sin really has no part of you. It just tries to remind you, so you cannot be fulfilled in who you are. That's the big thing. You get into guilt and kicking yourself, you're going nowhere. You know, you brought up the business. No, you didn't. You didn't. You said something about something, and I kind of giggled because the Lord showed me something. You know the habit trails and the hamster cages and the little mouse or that will get in here and start running, and they're going like crazy. It's funny to watch. When do they go anywhere? When they try to stop. Then they're... That's the only time they're going anywhere. Running their little hearts out and exercising, but getting nowhere for the energy. That's how we are when we start sitting there looking at ourselves and condemning ourselves. Oh, I did this again. You're not doing any good. Get a look at the cross and say, okay, here it is. I know I blew it. Lord, thank you for what you did. Let's go on from here. And if it's something new that the Lord brings up to your mind or into your spirit, and he shows you something about yourself you didn't know, that's when repentance comes in. You change your mind on it and walk in it. And that's all I've got.
Is there anyone that has an addition that connects? How many felt what he was saying was touching at home? Okay. I think when you and I really look at ourselves and we admit that we are under construction, it gives you courage to keep on going. And not to be so difficult with the law applied to yourself. Because when you consistently apply the law, what you're really doing...
Applying death.
Yes. You're literally planting death inside of you. And if you give yourself compassion, mercy, and grace, and declare what God says about you, there will be a turnaround. Now, I know myself, for the past few months, this new understanding of who I am in Christ is going deeper. I see my choices, I see my flesh going out and doing the wrong choices, etc. Some of that is still very alive. But I do have a testimony to say to you, and it's a victory. I see new strength in me that I never saw before. And it's in little places where I least expect it, where I have the ability to turn it around. Or to turn the body. The mind just does not go into the guilt that it used to. And that guilt used to give me a snowball into another level of self-accusations. So the byproduct of this news that Jesus took it all is starting to really form a base where I see new strength in me. His strength. When I was on vacation, I bought this ring that says His strength. That's all it says, His strength, Philippians 4:13. And I was pressed to buy it because I was sick and tired of me. Okay? Sick and tired of the weaknesses, sick and tired of the bad choices, sick and tired of flowing right back into things that, you know, we're comfortable. As a recovery program, usually for rejection, usually for a Holy Ghost encounter. Especially when there's fire around. And it isn't God's fire. So I'm blessed with this message because it says to me that you're also maturing. It says to me that the saints are going to go into a higher level than they've ever gone before. Okay?
I was disobedient, though, and I admit to this. When I sat down, Lord reminded me. Three times I should have said this. It begins here.
Yeah.
It begins here. It begins here.
And his promises. You know, I can remember saying some of the promises, declaring them, rejoicing in all circumstances. Well, you need to do it. You just activate it, do it, speak it. Speak it out loud if it's all possible. Don't disturb the whole Walmart scene.
Oh, they didn't even know. They just figured it out.
No, but you understand. I'm not talking. When you're in Walmart and you start declaring, "I'm the righteousness of God," they're going to look at you. But you can speak it. You can speak it in your heart. You can speak it on the way out. You can speak it when you get into the car.
You used to be able to speak it in there.
Yeah, well, you used to be able to. So I rejoice with all of you as we go forward in the days ahead. I want to give thanks to just to see the growth in the saints. So if you'll just bow your heads with me. Say, Father, I thank you that your faithfulness and your consistent sanctification that is ongoing in me. It's not finished yet. It's progressing day after day.
Day after day.
And I'm getting stronger. Because of grace. And more grace.
And more favor.
And more unmerited favor. I don't have to work for it. Jesus already paid the price. And now I am believing it. Hallelujah. May the Anointed One continue to be with you in the days ahead. And God willing, we'll see you Sunday morning with some goodies.